The small child was very excited that he had found a penny. The adult smiled because they knew that a penny wasn't worth much. But the child did not know that. He was as proud of his find as an adult would have been of a $100 bill. Every day he polished his penny and returned it dutifully to his pocket. Some days he had no pocket, so he carried it in his shoe. But always he carried it. It became a talisman, an omen. He knew that it meant that something special would come to him. It even made him believe that he was something special. Special because he had discovered the penny. The adults thought that he was being cute. Until it began. No one could say when or how, but slowly, very slowly, the penny began to glow. At first, everyone thought that it was strange. But it must have been because the child was polishing the penny so often. Gradually, it became evident that no ordinary penny could glow like that, no matter how carefully it was polished. And furthermore, the glow began to change colors. Some days it was gold, other days it was blue or orange, and sometimes the colors flickered in and out like rays of a rainbow. Everyone was surprised and shocked, except the child. He had known all along that the penny was special and that he was special for finding it. Unfortunately, life being as it is, someone, and we won't say who, coveted this penny so much that they sought to steal it from the child. One night, when the child was sleeping, the culprit crept into his room, took the glowing penny away, and put it in their pocket. However, that night the child had a dream. In the dream, a wise old man came to him and said, "Someone seeks what you have and will steal it from you while you sleep." "No, no," cried the child. "That cannot be. I need that penny." "Oh, no, my child, you are very wrong. You see, the penny is just an ordinary penny, and you made it special because you are special. The glow comes not from the penny, but from you. The penny was just something that you could cherish outside of yourself because you did not yet know your own inner worth. The penny is gone now because you no longer need it." "But I do need my penny," cried the boy. "Here," replied the kindly man, "take this one. This is a penny that came from inside of you and is a symbol of your inner worth." "But it's only a penny. It's not worth so much," said the boy. "Only a penny? Have you been listening to others instead of yourself? Even the largest tree grows from a small seed. If the seed is loved and nurtured from the very start, the tree will grow healthy and tall. This penny is like your seed. It is a very special penny because it is yours." The child awoke only with a dream of a tree. He grabbed the penny from its sleeping place and went about his day. Now, the one who stole the penny was riddled with guilt and could not understand how it was that the child was not upset. Feeling guilty, the party finally said, "How is your penny today?" The child smiled and reached into his pocket. He pulled out a glow that was stronger than ever. It was so strong that no one could see a penny through it. At once, the wily adult ran to the stolen penny to see what could have happened. There the penny was, but alas, without the glow. The voice of guilt whispered into the culprit's ear, "You see, you can steal someone's penny, but you can't steal someone's glow." Our inner child is maturing now. More and more than anything, the third chakra represents our inner glow. Our third chakra, located at our solar plexus, is our inner sun, the power we have within. Solar means sun, plexus means a network. The solar plexus chakra is the network of our inner sun. It is our power within that we can gain and maintain by clear, centered, positive thinking. We are our own greatest champions as well as our own worst enemies. As our multidimensional self and our divine ideal enter this chakra, our thinking gradually becomes more multidimensional and our innate abilities of telepathy, clairaudience, clairvoyance, and clairsentience skirt the edges of our consciousness. Welcome to Multidimensional Meditations. I'm Dr. S. Carroll, here with you today, and thank you very much for joining us. Since the fourth dimensional body that is correlated to this chakra is our mental body, our thinking goes under the microscope as we begin to hear the thoughts that were once unconscious to us. Our third chakra rules our thoughts. Now, unfortunately, many of our thoughts are unconscious, but we're going to work today to find some exercises and meditations to help bring our thoughts conscious for how can we choose what we can't hear. And what we want to choose is positive, empowering thoughts, and to put aside that subliminal chatter about what is wrong or what makes us angry or what scares us. All of these kinds of thoughts are a pollution to our mind. And the fourth dimensional correlate of Gaia's body to the third dimensional chakra is Earth's troposphere, where most of our weather takes place. And as we have been learning, our weather is greatly affected by our pollution. Now, the element for this chakra is fire, which is the synapses that go on with all of our thought. This chakra is also ruled by our spleen, which is a major port for the flow of the fourth dimensional river of unity as it comes into our body. Our third chakra, our solar plexus chakra, is also the area within our total self where we begin our first interdimensional travels, whereas the other chakras were more grounded in the third dimensional earth. Through our third chakra, we begin our first journeys into the fourth dimension. Now, as we have noted before with the second chakra, we need to know that just because somebody has crossed over doesn't necessarily mean that this is someone that we wish to communicate with. Therefore, it is important that we hold the emotion of love at all times as we do our inner journeys. Our third chakra also rules the development of our intellect, which is an important grounding force for the opening and expanding of our psychic abilities. The logical, sequential thinking of the left brain is a very good balance for the interdimensional journeys of the right brain. And it is also a preparation for whole brain thinking, which means that we are able to balance and function from our right and left hemispheres at the same time. The third chakra rules our stomach, our pancreas, our spleen, and our gallbladder, all of the organs of digestion. So just as the third chakra digests the prana that comes in through the spleen and our psychic powers, it also digests the energy that we get from food. In preparation for our meditation, I'd like you to take a moment and close your eyes and tune your awareness onto your solar plexus chakra, which is just below your sternum and to the left. Now we're going to take three breaths. In the first breath, I want you to inhale the color yellow. You will inhale through your solar plexus chakra and slowly exhale this yellow color, bright yellow color of vitality and light and glowing intellect. Slowly exhale it down to your navel chakra, where the yellow color can blend and merge with the orange color of your navel chakra, and then move it down, exhale if you still have breath, into your first chakra, where the yellow and the orange can merge with the red. And now exhale all the way down through your feet and deep, deep into the heart of Gaia, and relax. so that all of your first three chakras are blended with the heart of Gaia. And now take a long, slow inhale up from the heart of Gaia. Bring it up through your legs, up through the red of your first chakra, the orange of your second chakra, the yellow of your third chakra, into the green of your heart chakra. So the heart of Gaia and your physical heart are blended as you exhale and relax. For your third breath, you're going to inhale the color of green into your heart and slowly exhale that color of green down into the yellow of your solar plexus and allow those two to blend. Now exhale down the blended green and yellow into the orange of your navel chakra and allow those to blend as well. And exhale the green and yellow and orange down into the red of your first chakra. Allow those to blend as well, so that all the colors and the frequencies of all of these colors can intermingle, join, and work as one unit. As you exhale down through your root, down, down into the core of the planet, to intermingle all these combined frequencies and colors of your first four chakras into the heart of Gaia. As you relax, feel how the heart of Gaia and your personal heart are becoming one. Okay, we are now ready to begin our meditation. Before we begin, take a moment and feel yourself rooted in the body of Gaia, from your first chakra at your root and your crown chakra at the top of your head. Open up to the highest dimensions and feel your entire spine straight up and down. Feel your first chakra at your root, second navel, third solar plexus, fourth heart, fifth throat, sixth brow, seventh crown, aligned with all of your fourth dimensional bodies and all the bodies of Earth, as you all line up in the center flow of the river of unity as we begin our meditation. You are now ready to calibrate your solar plexus chakra so that it can accept your soul self and your multidimensional divine ideal into your physical body to activate your great latent power within. Take a moment and release your ego as you allow your soul to show you a picture or a memory or a thought of a time in your life when you felt like you had power within. Just allow whatever picture, and you might be surprised to see what picture actually comes in, or memory or thought, however your consciousness works best. So as you're feeling this power within, how does your body feel? What kinds of emotions are you having? And what thoughts are you holding in your mind? Now allow this power within to send a tail down into the core of Gaia. And as you travel up from the core, connect the essence of Gaia to the inner warrior in your first chakra and your inner child who has become your divine child in your second chakra to the great power within in your third chakra. And visualize your soul self taking this tail of light and connecting it to your inner sun, the core of the inner sun of Earth, up through your body to the inner sun of your personal body to join into this huge network of inner radiance. And as your soul self plugs in the light, your soul steps into your inner sun. And as your soul enters your inner sun, allow a picture to enter into your consciousness of an area in your life where you have felt, or unfortunately do still feel, like someone or something has power over you. Now, how does that feel in your body? and you feel like someone has power over you, what kind of emotions does that create? And what kinds of thoughts go through your mind? And what kind of behavior do you have when you feel like someone else has power over you or over your life? And what type of 3D illusions of separation and limitation have trapped you in this power over situation, or in the past trapped you? But I'd like you to dig down deep, because we're going to be doing some psychic house cleaning. Somewhere in your inner self, there's someone who feels like something has power over you. Feel the tension of that illusion of power over you in your body. Feel the emotions that allow that to continue in your life. Hear the thoughts that allow you to continue to have this in your life. Now, with a great power within of your soul self and of Gaia herself, I would like your soul self to sweep up these final remnants of your wounded self and fall into the flow of the river of unity. And as you fall into the flow, you hear the inner power saying, "You have come to the current of the flow, believing it will cleanse you. The flow looks like water, but it's actually liquid light, a fourth dimensional expression of your fire elementals. It has taken great courage for you to allow your soul self to sweep up this wounded fragment of you and to fall into the flow with you. Now all you need to do is relax and release. But what all do you want to release? You know, you try to like settle in to imagine what the flow must be. It's not physical, in fact, it's in your mind, so you're not really sure what it is. And the unsurety might cause you doubt, self-doubt. Again, no, you push aside self-doubt and you settle into the current of what you imagine and what you trust in your consciousness is this massive fourth dimensional river of unity with all life, with your higher self and with Gaia. Now all you have to do is surrender to the flow. However, as the flow begins to pull old portions of yourself to the surface, another force counters it by pushing the secrets back into hiding. This force is resistance to change, resistance to truth. You can feel the flow beginning to move through your body, releasing the stress and strain of your life. However, once again, you feel these places that are afraid of change, any change. You feel nervous and uncomfortable as these hidden parts don't want to come to the surface, as they want to stay hidden deep inside. You know that you have to use your power within to participate in your own healing if you are to allow the flow into the hidden places of your powerless and wounded self. What would be the sense in hiding from yourself, from others, from the truth? You have always sought the truth, haven't you? And what if this truth reveals something you don't like, some aspect of yourself, some emotion or thought that you're not ready to confront? You can feel the resistance, but your inner power has the courage to face that which lay hidden behind this resistance. You remember the feeling of feeling that power within your body, your emotions, and your thoughts. It feels good. It feels true. It feels much better than sheltering yourself from the parts of you that you need to release just because you're afraid. Yes, of course, fear. Fear is what they are, and fear is what will stop you. Therefore, you must release this fear and choose love. Only love, unconditional love of your own wounded self, will give you the power to accept your resistance as a part of change. Accept that which you are resisting and surrender to the flow. What do you have to lose? You can lose sorrow, says your heart, as you allow the flow to pull your sorrow to the surface. Yes, you hear your thoughts saying, but first, I know I will have to accept and love it. How can I accept sorrow? How can I love sorrow? Your sorrow has taught you to seek comfort, murmurs the inner voice. You know that to be true. Can you accept the risk of accepting an old enemy? Can you stop resisting your sorrow and love it free and release it into the flow? Years of sorrow fill your memory until you have no choice. You hold on to it no longer as you release it, forgive it, love it, you love it free. I love you, sorrow, you cry in your heart. You have taught me to seek comfort. With your words, the sorrow leaves you. Your tears join the flow of the current and float away. Comfort now lives in the place that was once filled with sorrow. Comfort from the power within that it took to release it. Comfort from choosing to listen to your thoughts of love rather than your thoughts of fear. Because you were powerful enough to love yourself, you have loved your sorrow free. However, you know that there is more to lose. You can lose confusion, says the current, as it travels in circles around you. Your thoughts swirl like a flooded river, and you almost lose your footing. You will have to surrender it. You can no longer live with it. But what has confusion taught you? It has taught you to seek clarity, speaks the inner voice, as it resonates now inside of you, stronger than ever. Without the pent-up sorrow, you can listen to me more easily, for I am yourself. I am your soul. I love you, confusion, you sing with your thoughts. You have taught me to seek clarity. Because of your love and willingness to surrender to the flow, your confusion is washed from your thoughts, and you find that you can more easily relax into the center of the current. At least now you have direction. It feels good. You can lose pain, whispers the little voice as the flow pushes against you. Yes, pain, the sum total of your inability to find happiness. You can lose that. But what has it taught you? Yes, you know. I love you, pain. You have taught me to seek happiness, you say, as your arms embrace your body, protecting your wounded self. Your body's ego self relaxes as a life of pain is full to the surface of your consciousness to be released into the flow. Your arms open wide now and float on the surface of the current, allowing your heart to release all its pain as well. You can lose fear, your entire being shouts. You know the answer and respond, I love you, fear. You have taught me to love. You call to your fear as it floats down the current. Now all that is left is love and the power within that you have gained by surrendering to the flow. However, one last question taunts your mind. What is the flow? You call to your inner self. It is I, answers your soul. I am the flow of your true self. Because you have surrendered to my voice, your inner voice, we are now one. We are now going to take that great power within our third chakra and blend it with Gaia's third chakra, which is in Mount Kilimanjaro of Africa. The challenge of our third chakra is to find our own inner light, our own inner power, and to share it with the world by projecting it out in an outward flow. Mount Kilimanjaro represents the power of a peak standing alone in a barren land. This peak does not need to pull in its strength up from the environment. Instead, it commands energy and strength by projecting it out like a huge beacon of inner light. This inner light is like a sentry, a guardian for ourselves and for our loved ones and for our planet. Mount Kilimanjaro is one of the largest freestanding mountains in the world. And from Gaia's third chakra, it stands alone to show us the great power within that we gain as we find the courage to be able to stand alone ourselves. And in fact, as we stand alone, that power radiates out to others that are also standing alone. So in reality, we're not alone. We are connected with our courage and great power. And so now we're going to connect that courage and great power with Gaia through her chakra. Now, once again, we're going to begin our travel by going down, down into the core of Earth's body to connect our essence with her essence again. Down, down, down we travel into the planet's third and fourth dimensional body. As we travel deeper, it seems darker, but at the same time, there is a light that is coming from within us that is showing our way. This light shows us where we are. It doesn't need to move forth into the distance because we're afraid we don't know where we're going. This light shows us where we are now, because where we are now is in the now, and the now is in the one. The light that shines for us, this light that also shines through us, shows us where we are being, not where we are going. So therefore, the darkness around us is not an issue, for we stand in the middle of our own light. Now take a moment while we continue to travel deeper and deeper into the core of Gaia. And as you do so, feel the weight and the protection of this great mountain above you. As you find that you are now being in the core of your light, while you are also being in the core of Gaia's light. The core of your inner light and the core of Gaia's inner light allows you to see any psychic attachments that you have gained throughout your lifetime. The third chakra is the area through which we emanate our light outwards. However, from the times that we were unable to emanate our light outward, there was darkness that came in psychically. Because this is our first chakra of interdimensional travel, this is the chakra through which we can feel somebody else's pain or hear somebody else's anger. And the trouble with having telepathy, empathy, clairaudience, clairvoyance, all of these abilities, we do not feel it coming from the person who is sending it. We feel it from inside ourself, our place of unity. Therefore, with our third chakra, as we are opening to these skills and abilities, we need to know our own emotions, know our own thoughts. So when suddenly we are feeling a new kind of feeling, a new kind of thought, we can say, wait, this is not from me. This is someone else. Someone else has sent this out or directly to me. Sometimes it is a direct attack on us, but sometimes we just have the grave misfortune about being with someone when they're having their storm. And in those cases, just like we pollute the atmosphere, the troposphere, and make the weather bad, others' thoughts and emotions pollute us in our solar plexus and make us have bad weather, so to speak. So, therefore, as we now rise up from the great emanations of Gaia's light, we can begin to feel all the effluvia, all of the pollution of all the thoughts and feelings and actions and behaviors of people that aren't ours. These are not ours that we are talking about. We are talking about what we have picked up from others. And you can feel it first, because how can we release that which we do not know we have? So now, while we've got Gaia surrounding us and holding us within her very body, we can feel all this emanation, this pollution that we have picked up in our wonderful third chakra. Until gradually we find ourselves peeking out on the earth at the very base of the great mountain Kilimanjaro. As we get to the mountain, the first thing that we do is that we release this heavy pack of all of these psychic burdens that are not ours at the feet of great, mighty Kilimanjaro, the protector of the planet. And Kilimanjaro has the power to release this back into the one where it can be recirculated in purity. Now, feeling free as you shake off the burden that was never yours to carry, as you shake off the psychic effluvia, and you open up your clear fourth dimensional abilities, no longer clouded by others, but coming from the power within yourself. You can feel this great power as you blend it with the power that is emanating from the base of this mighty mountain. Be aware of the heat rising up from the base of the mountain as you begin your hike to the peak where Kilimanjaro kisses the heavens. Be sure to completely ground yourself by sending your first chakra roots down deep into the mountain. Also, once you are plugged into the mountain, you can unite your psychic vision of your solar plexus, of your wisdom, power, and love with that of this great mountain to show you the clearest path for your journey. With strength and determination, you climb the mountain. You allow each step to awaken your great power within. You think only of your victory as you approach the peak and the power that it holds. Know that you can only climb this mountain alone, for this mountain is a symbol of the power that you hold within yourself to share, to give, to protect, to guard others. Take a long moment now as you move towards her peak of Gaia's mighty mountain, Kilimanjaro, to ingest the power of the planet, of the mountain, of yourself, to digest the power of the planet, of the mountain, of yourself, to assimilate the power of the planet, the mountain, of yourself, and to integrate this great power as you radiate it out into your environment. This radiation makes you feel confident of your success because you are guarded against any negative, fearful thinking from within yourself or from others. You are a strong spiritual warrior who is fighting for a life of peace and love. As you stand upon the peak of the great Kilimanjaro, you say, I am the guardian of myself and my planet. I am in complete control of my life. I stand alone, yet I am united with Earth. Hold this emanation, and as you move throughout your life.
What is the reason for my life, and why have I come here to a world so filled with sorrow, with anger and with fear? And though my thoughts are all confused, I know the answer's there, for deep inside I hear a call, but I'm not sure from where. There's a tranquil message pulling softly at my mind. It feels so very loving and sounds so sweet and kind. This voice that hears my pain lives somewhere deep inside. It hides behind my ego and is muted by my pride. This presence is so quiet, whereas others yell and cry. It wisely gives me reasons and gently tells me why. If my mind is calm and centered, it fills my heart with cheer. But if there is a mental storm, it's impossible to hear. The answers are all known, it says, if you turn your mind around to see what can't be seen and hear what has no sound. If the portal to this inner world lives deep inside my soul, then to step across that threshold is my promise and my goal. My goal. What is the reason for my life and why have I come here? To a world so filled with sorrow, with anger and with fear. And though my thoughts are all confused, I know the answer's there. For deep inside I hear a call, but I'm not sure from where.
Welcome back. I'd like to take this moment once again to thank Terry Lee for all the accompanying music and Jackie Callis for singing the poems. And I'd like to take a moment also to give you a little bit of homework, which of course is something you can do or not do, but just to leave your mind with something to ponder on. And what that begins with is to listen to your thoughts. Listening to our thoughts is something that we think, oh, that's easy, we do it all the time. But trust me, there's so often that we do not do it. And we have a subliminal hum that's kind of going on, you know, in the back of our mind, and we don't pay attention to it. But it's kind of like that loud generator at the office that doesn't really bother you, but after a couple of hours, suddenly you're feeling very agitated. And when you look around to figure out why you're so agitated, there it is. It's that generator. Not loud enough to really get your attention, but it works on you. And that's what happens with our thoughts. They work on us. Little tiny, well, gee, how come I didn't? Little victim-y, well, it's not my fault. I tried as much as I could. Or, boy, I'm so angry at them, why didn't they? Or, I can never do that. This is too hard for me. All of those kinds of thoughts that we don't want to say out loud. It's kind of embarrassing that I would actually think that way, but we do think that way. I know I think that way. And just like Kilimanjaro is a sentry for others, it's a sentry for our thoughts. Now, one of the things that you can do to catch yourself in your thoughts is to take a moment at the end of the day, and while you're relaxing, if you possibly can, I know sometimes that's hard, go back and think, okay, what did I just think? And then go back a little bit more. Well, what did I think before that? Then go back a little bit. Well, what did I think before that? If you can't figure out what you thought, look at what you did. You slammed your brakes on suddenly and yelled at somebody. But did you realize the thoughts were before all muddled in your head so you could concentrate? Or that you yelled at somebody? But then if you really look at your thoughts were, I'm really upset with them, or this is really a hard day for me. Thought precedes action. If we don't know why we acted a certain way, it's because we didn't know what we were thinking before we acted. If we can catch our thoughts at a subliminal level, where they are just like that background, the wallpaper, the person on the other side of the room that we hear but don't really attend to, if we can take our attention and place it on our thoughts. Now, when we hear a negative thought, we don't say, oh, you stupid person, you talk that way. Or, how come you talk like that? Or, how dare you say that to me? Or, oh, what's wrong with me? What we do instead is we say, okay, I realize that was an angry thought. That was a victimized thought. That was a thought that wasn't clear. That was a thought that wasn't loving. All right, I understand that. I forgive myself. And I take a breath. And I think consciously about how I want to think. Take a moment and say your mantra. I now take all power I have ever given to any person, place, situation, or thing, and I hold it within myself. I now take all power I have ever given to any person, place, situation, or thing, and I hold it within myself. Thank you so very much, and we'll close with a poem, and then I'll see you next week. Bye. Away from the burdens and responsibilities of everyday life, you can find time to look deep and to the eye of the infinite. Take a long time now to realize that the promise and serenity of all life can be the foundation for each and every thought. Be still first within yourself, and then you will learn to be still within the world. If you are not still, you cannot listen. If you cannot listen, you will not hear. So listen now. Listen to the small voice who encourages and directs your every thought, feeling, and movement. Allow this voice to protect you from within so that your armor of fear and distrust can be released. The shell falls from the nut so that the sweet fruit can be revealed and enjoyed. The shell was needed while the seed was ripening. But if the shell does not crack at the appropriate time, its protection will hinder the release of the seed. The seed is indeed frightened to face the world without its protective encasement. However, if it can remember that it is not just a seed, but an infant tree, its courage will be renewed. And what kind of tree are you, and how many fruit shall you bear? Allow the shell to fall. As it does, know that even then you shall be but a hint of your whole self. Therefore, be not attached to the shell or the seed or even the tree to which that seed will grow. The process of transformation is infinite, and each stage of development is a victory, a death, and a new beginning.